Welcome to Everyone Loved It But Me. My name is Lisa Hedger. I'm your host. I'm a freelance writer, editor, and journalist in Central Ohio. This is the podcast where we analyze super beloved books, but no book bashing, of course. We just offer up unique perspectives. Today's episode is particularly unique because I'm talking to author Libby Kay, and we're going to discuss her book series, Buckeye Falls. Last week, Libby and I analyzed Skipping Christmas by John Grisham, which is an Everyone Loved It But Me tradition where we discuss a super popular holiday book. And this week, we are going to discuss Libby's series, Buckeye Falls, and the first one is a holiday book. Before we jump in, quick favor, if you could follow me wherever you get your podcast, I would greatly appreciate that. Usually you can just press a little arrow button or a plus button, and that helps to grow our bookish community. Now on to the show. Libby Kay lives in Columbus, Ohio with her husband. She's the author of the sweet romance series Buckeye Falls. When she's not writing, Libby loves reading romance novels of any kind. Stories of people falling in love nourish her soul. Contemporary or Regency, sweet or hot, as long as there is a happily ever after, she's in love. When not surrounded by books, Libby can be found baking in her kitchen, binging true crime shows, or on the road with her husband, traveling as far as their bank account will allow. Welcome to the show, Libby.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited. We are going to talk about your books. Libby has the series, Buckeye Falls novels, and you are at four, is that correct?
Yes, the fourth one, Faking the Fall, just came out in October, which sadly is longer than I keep thinking we're in October, but it's almost Thanksgiving.
Yes, Libby and I were recording this right before Thanksgiving. So I have a Falling Home, which is the first one that I read. Mm-hmm. And so maybe tell us a little about how the idea came up and, you know, how you decided.
Sure. Yeah. So I've always been obsessed with romance books, but Hallmark movies, all the sweet stuff with the cliches. I call them brain candy, but I mean that at the highest compliment because I like to read to escape. Not that I do read memoirs and nonfiction too, but I would say 80% of what I read is fiction. And I like books that have enough conflict to keep the story going, but not enough that I'm depressed. You know what I mean? If you're reading to get away from life, I don't want to take on someone else's serious problems.
Right.
The idea for the series in general came up with the town of Buckeye Falls. Before we lived in Ohio, we lived in Indiana. And I've always loved when we leave the city and go to these small towns for, you know, anything from a festival or we're just driving from point A to point B. I've always found there to be a certain charm with those towns. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to create something that would be like visiting an old friend. That was kind of the basis for Buckeye Falls. For Falling Home, the first book, I've always been obsessed with food, with cooking. I've worked in restaurants back in the day, and I just like that food culture. I knew I wanted to have a hero that was a cook or a chef.
Yeah.
I grew up in Pennsylvania, and I always loved the diner culture there.
Like, yeah.
I wish Ohio had as many diners as Pennsylvania, because Pennsylvania's diners are usually open 24/7. So you can go and get that piece of pie at 3
wow.
in the morning if that's what you're craving.
Like a local diner is?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. There's some. I went to school out in Lancaster County, and I mean, we would go at all hours. And I mean, we would joke and call it pancaking. We're like, do you want to go pancaking at 2 in the morning? Yes, I do.
I have to say, Libby, since we moved to Central Ohio, I've been surprised there's not even that many great, like, breakfast places.
Yes, that has been
like just an old
struggle.
School where I can get an omelet, scrambled eggs, and hash browns.
Exactly. And maybe a little pancake on the side.
Yeah. Two pancakes on the side. That's right. For $9.99 or whatever it is. Now.
Exactly.
Yes. We have struggled. I mean, like, when we go back to Michigan or Indiana or something, I'm just like, we have to eat. We have to eat out for breakfast.
Yes.
Because
exactly. No, and breakfast is my favorite meal to eat
too.
Out.
I just
love it. You can, the options are endless.
Yeah, so I enjoyed that. I remember I messaged Libby right when I started the first book because you had a reference of shoe fly pie. And I grew up in Amish country in northern Indiana. And I knew you grew up in Amish country or close to
in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. And that's like my favorite, to this day, is my favorite pie. And I've never been able to make it as good as it is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've never mastered that.
No, I've tried.
But in general, the Amish baking, like the breads and... Oh my gosh. I mean, I'd weigh 500 pounds if I lived in Amish country still.
Well, I would too. The baking, the noodles. Oh my gosh. Just all of it.
Yes.
Yeah. So and good. I liked that. Yeah. I enjoy it. And really the first one, which I read is what I call kind of like a second chance romance, right? They had been married and then had a divorce. You know, we won't get into all of it.
Going back to, sorry, I talked about food and then I fell down a rabbit hole. I wanted Max to be what they call in the industry, like the cinnamon roll hero. Like he is just a nice guy. The funny thing is when I wrote Ginny, the heroine, I didn't think she was very unlikable, but I've had people say they liked that she was a little rough around the edges at the beginning. And I'm like, oh, okay, good. Cause I that's what I
there
was going for.
There were moments that I thought she was a little unlikable.
Yeah.
There's definitely moments.
But I liked that she, cause I mean, none of us are always likable all the time. So I wanted it to be realistic and I wanted her to have the foil of her father, who she goes back to Buckeye Falls to help after surgery. I wanted there to be, because it's a Christmas book, I wanted there to be like a family element to it.
Yeah.
And I liked the dynamic between Harold, her father, and Max, that they had kept in touch. And
I liked that too. Yeah. Yes. And especially, Ginny didn't really know it. And they were having these weekly dinners and she was kind of jealous and annoyed. And I got a big kick out of that because I think that can be really true. Like my parents have been divorced for, I don't know, 35, many, many years. But like my mom will still go to my dad's family stuff and you know.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, all these years later. And so there, you can't, just when a divorce happens, you can't just end the relationships. All people have different relationships.
Exactly.
And I thought that showed that you wouldn't always see that. And I could just imagine yours as a total Hallmark Christmas movie and seeing like how awkward it would be.
Well, and that
at
was the
dinner
vibe
table,
I was going
that awkward
for.
Dinner. I love a good awkward dinner table.
Yes. And again, I tried to make food kind of a character in the story and a connection for Max and Ginny to kind of start to bridge over things. I thought that I was hoping that was came across as a fun element because I mean food's always been a part of I mean it's part of everyone's life, but I don't know, I think you can say a lot with food.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, so this one when did this come out? This one came out,
it's been out about a year, so December of 22.
Oh wow, then you're writing them really pretty fast.
Well, I know they all came out in a year, but trust me, they were not written in a year. I've had a lot of people say like, wow, you must be a really fast writer. I'm like, oh my God, no, I have been writing these for years. And fortunately, when I found my publisher with Inkspell and they were interested to see what else I had, we were able to kind of put it all in the hopper and get it out pretty quick.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you already had pretty solid rough drafts of all four?
Of the first, when I got the contracts back in middle of 21, and I got the contract for Falling Home, and I had already written Falling for You, which is book two. And I had really, and I cannot stress, really rough outlines for the third one, Falling Again. And so once I got the contract, I'm like, okay, got to finish Falling Again. And that one was actually maybe my favorite to write because—
So that's your second one, Falling—
That's the third.
Oh, that's the third one. Okay, Falling Again. Yep.
And that one follows Anthony, the mayor. And you've read the first one. He is not put in a great light in the first
The one I'm like really interested in reading, I think. I saw, I'm like, oh, they've got to be. And this is, they've already been married.
Yes. So it's kind of the marriage to in trouble trope. And in a way, their own second chance because they have young children and busy careers and life. And they just haven't been paying as much attention to each other. So that was very fun to write because I knew Anthony was going to have a redemption arc, but I didn't really give that away in the first one at all because I've had a lot of people say I was surprised by how much I liked Anthony because I hated him in book one. And I'm like, excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. And then is that something, Libby, because I was just talking with another writer about this and they said that, you know, they really feel like it's important to show that people can change. But then there's that question of like, how much change, right? Because, you know, how much change is realistic, you know? And did you have that issue with him as with the mayor, right? Libby wondering, because he is pretty hard. I mean, he's not very likable. So to allow him these baby step changes or these changes where you, or maybe us just seeing his inner dialogue makes us realize how he's more conflicted. It's both, right?
It is a lot with the inner dialogue. That did a lot of the heavy lifting. But I felt like in book two, he started to get out of his comfort zone. There's a fun double date scene with Natalie and Anthony and Cece and Evan. That is kind of a tipping point that's mentioned in book three for him. We're like, I have to step up my game here as a husband.
Okay.
Yeah. I won't give anything else away with that. But and that's kind of the fun part of writing this series is you can read them individually. Like each book follows a different couple. The other couples are kind of background characters and support the story, but that's kind of, you can read them individually and be like, okay, I'm done. Hopefully
you won't be get introduced. Right. I'm still a stickler. I gotta say, Libby, whenever there's a series, I'm still like, I must read it in order.
Oh, I'm the same way. There's been times where I've picked something up just on a whim and I'm halfway through it. And I'm like, wait, who's this and what's this? And then I'm like, oh, book five. Oh no.
Right. That is ideal. So if someone does pick it up at the bookstore or wherever, and if they pick up book three or four, but I don't know why I do like to start, because then I'm just gonna feel like I'm missing something, you know, like I like to know.
And I do try to build that sense of community where I don't think you're gonna miss it per se, but I do feel like it's added if you read them in order, because you're gonna understand that this character from book one, oh, they showed up again in book three, that's so nice. And you know, just trying to keep that sense of community going.
Yeah, yeah. And when I saw you at the bookstore here in Central Ohio, I was asking you if there are other book series I think that you were thinking of. I think the one I'd asked you about was Virgin. It kind of reminded me a little bit of Virgin River, which is now a very successful Netflix show.
Oh, gosh. From your lips to God's ear.
Hinge, hinge.
Yeah. But, yeah, definitely. And I've been a reader of these series, like Robin Carr's Virgin River, Susan Mallory's Fool's Gold series, Sharon Sala did the Blessings Georgia series. And I like these because it's the same idea. You can pick up any of them. You know, you can enjoy the love story. You're going to get a sense for the town. But again, if you read them in order, it's more of a bigger world building, I guess.
Yeah.
But I like that these, they all have the same theme where, and they have varying spice levels. Mine are sweet. It's mostly just kissing.
I would say like a 0.1 or something out of 5.
Yeah. I've seen those little chili pepper ratings. I would definitely be like half a chili pepper out of 5.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I would too. Like I would say like no, like, yeah. Like even.
Yeah. There's nothing graphic.
No,
nothing like that. No serious language. I mean, these are pretty, not that they're meant for younger readers, but they're pretty family friendly.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, totally. Yeah. I think even probably, I think middle schoolers. I mean, they kind of remind me they do remind me kind of like of some of the Hallmark movies, right? Where you, in terms of language and things like that. And you know, you're going to have.
And that's definitely the vibe.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you're going to have a happy ending. And I think you're trying to throw in, you know, like you said, some more kind of details, some things that are a little different. And then you have the interconnectedness. So the one that just came out just last month, right? That was fall one, right?
That was Faking
the Fall. Oh, yes, yes. So that's the fake dating trope, right?
Yes, that's fake dating.
And which characters is that?
This one, these are new characters. James is brand new. Alice is Anthony the mayor's sister, and she is introduced in the third book. And I will be honest, when I started writing Buckeye Falls, I thought it was going to be a trilogy. I had visions of Ginny, Cece, and Natalie, and I thought, that's it. And then when I started writing book three, I wanted there to be a family member beyond Anthony's parents that kind of helped push him out of his comfort zone. And I started writing Alice, and the more I wrote her, I'm like, oh my gosh, I really like Alice. She's insane, but she's a lot of fun. And I wanted to explore why she is the way she is. And the funny part is when I did the announcement earlier in the year that book four was going to be her story, I had readers reach out and say, really, Alice? She was kind of annoying. And then I've had the same readers come back and be like, oh my gosh, I love her. This is my favorite one. And I'm like, oh, yay. Just changing people's perspective.
Right. So it sounds like, Libby, you have quite a community and you have people who are reading them and you're getting good reception, it sounds like. Or
yes, it's. I've been very touched by the people that have reached out. Because, you know, you write, it's a solitary activity and you don't know what people are going to think. And you work with editors and beta readers, and obviously they're giving constructive feedback. But to have a stranger that has literally no connection to me, you know, leave a positive review or DM me on Instagram and be like, I really resonated with Anthony and Natalie and how they did this. Or, you know, I loved Ginny's relationship with her dad and falling home. That has been very rewarding and surprising. And, you know, it's just been amazing to see my work outside of a vacuum.
Right. Yeah, because you're right. It is solitary. You're just by yourself on the computer and it's lonely and you're questioning yourself.
Oh, yeah. Imposter syndrome is real. I mean, still, I don't think of, I mean, it's only, these have only been out in the world for a little over a year and it still feels surreal. Even when I met you at the book event in October, it's surreal to be able to do that and right. have people come out and talk about books, not just my books, but just talk about books. It's wonderful.
It is. And are you doing any more of that as well? Or I don't know if you have any other events coming up.
Nothing in for the rest new, of maybe this the year, new year. But I'm going to be at 3 Central Ohio libraries for different events in January and February. Keep an eye out to social media. I'll start advertising that after
Thanksgiving. And I'll include your links in the show notes, but the best on Instagram is?
It's at Libby K. Author for both Facebook and Instagram.
Perfect. And so you're right in the middle now of book number 5, correct? You're right in the middle of writing it. Okay. And are you you planning to go beyond then? Are you thinking?
Right now, I'm not thinking there will be another one just because Mallory, who is, for those who have read the books, is Evan from book 2's sister. And then Alice, she is Alice's friend in book 4. So she was in this world and she didn't have anybody. And I thought, oh, I can't let Mallory hang. I need her to have her own story. So I have finished the draft. We're going to start editing it after the holiday. I can say that it is going to be coming out in the fall of 24.
Wow. Exciting. That's exciting. So and then after that, are you thinking you might go in a completely different project perhaps?
Yes. It will be romance adjacent. I've been working on something that is kind of more women's fiction because it deals with a woman and her who's about to turn 40 and she's lost her husband. And so kind of her moving forward. And that's been something I've been working on for years. So
I'm
trying to go back and really put the finishing touches on that and get that out because it's and that would be a standalone. It's not a series. Just, I don't know if I'm more comfortable now. That I've been writing more, but this is a story that's just been circling through my head. I'm like, I gotta get this on paper and out in the world. So,
That's awesome. Well, this is exciting. I really enjoyed the first one and I need to get the others. And I think my mom would. My mom really loves series too. So I was like, okay, I need to get her these.
I seem to be popular with mothers. I've had a lot of my friends who bought the book and said, I gave my mother the books for Christmas. And I'm like, all right.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, okay, I might end up giving this one to my mom or get her another copy or get her a couple because she really likes series. She really likes connecting, seeing the same people. Like,
oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, then this is perfect.
Right. She loves some good, you know, rom-coms and romance. And yes. And yeah, that's, oh, goodness. Well, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for coming.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Lisa. I really enjoyed this.
Yes. Oh, and I can link to your podcast too, because you have your own podcast as well.
Yes, I started this year with my friend Liz Donatelli. We started a show called Romance Roundup. And that is on her Reader Seeks Romance YouTube channel. And you can also find it wherever you listen to podcasts. So we talk about different romance tropes, different authors. And we have started interviewing some authors. So that'll be popping up later this year into the new year.
That's awesome.
So,
yeah.
We're just all things romance.
Yeah. And that's neat. And I think you guys do a good job of highlighting authors. Again, certainly that I've not heard of, which I always think is important.
Yeah, we're trying to have it be, not that we don't talk about the big ones, but, you know, we had an indie episode and we try to talk about maybe tropes or genres in romance that aren't talked about as much. So we try to keep, you know, we don't want it to be too obscure, but at the same time.
Right. Well, that's one of my goals of the podcast, right? For Everyone Loved Above Me, is to analyze super popular books, but also highlight those books that, you know, people that just don't get as much attention.
Yes. And I listened to the most recent one you did about the Christina Lauren, the
Honeymooners. Had you read that one?
I loved that because I did read the book. And I this happens sometimes when I'm in book clubs. I read a book and when I'm by myself, I think, okay, this might be 4 stars. I like it. And then when you start talking about it, I'm like, wait a minute, that was annoying. That was weird. And that's one of the things I love about book club is, you know, even if I give it a 5-star read, there's always something that you can be like, no, wait a minute.
Right. And that's my big thing is it's just this whole notion of celebrating like different opinions, you know, and even the most beloved book in the world, someone's going to say, oh, you know, the most beloved book in the world has 1-star ratings.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's got one.
Everybody has one. It is a rite of passage, you know. But yes, and we try really hard like not to be mean-spirited or anything like that. Some reviews are funny. I mean, once in a while I'll read some 1-star reviews that are just funny. But I know as an author, like, you know, when somebody says something, one of my pet peeves is I don't like when people give a low review and say, oh, I didn't finish it.
I have had a couple of those and I'm like, but then don't say, because it's when they say things that are, you know, oh, well, they didn't do this, but I didn't finish it. I'm like, well, if you would have finished it, you might have changed your mind.
Right. I do not give a review if I don't finish it. It's not,
I'm the same way.
Yeah. Like if you DNF it, do not finish it, right, for everyone out there, then you, no reviews.
And that's fine. There's a book for every reader, but not every book is for every reader. And I totally understand that. It's just, and again, of course, John Grisham's not going to be upset that I wasn't in love with Super Christmas. I think he'll be okay.
I think John Grisham is just fine. Yeah. He is just fine.
I imagine he is in a castle-sized house.
I think so. Yes, absolutely. Probably skipping Christmas.
Exactly.
Oh, goodness. Yes, I know. I was just thinking, it's so funny. My husband was in New York. And again, Libby and I were talking right before Thanksgiving. He's like, Lisa, New York is like, they're decorating for Christmas. And I said, honey, I think like everyone is.
I think as soon as Halloween is done, it's all bets are off.
Right. And especially the towns and cities and municipalities. I'm sure Columbus is.
Yeah, Columbus. I saw some of in the Commons area, they're putting up the lights. And I'm here for it because I like it.
Yes.
But it is getting closer and closer to Halloween.
It is.
And even though I'm not I like Halloween, but I'm not, you know, I don't dress up all the time. But I like the vibes. And I kind of want to like enjoy that as long as we can. And then it's like, boom, Christmas.
Right. Yeah. The fall vibes. Yeah. Yeah. It's a different energy. You know, you still feel like you're basking in it. And Christmas does have that kind of hurried energy, if you will.
Yeah. Although the Christmas lights does help with the time change. The fact that it's dark at 5:00, I'm like, well, at least there's Christmas lights.
Oh, I know. That's what I always say to Libby when I'm driving. I'm like, at least I'll have Christmas lights in this dark. That's what I say too. And I'm like, and then when it's middle of January and everyone's, I'm like, why don't they keep them up longer in January?
Exactly. See, we'll keep our tree up, I mean, embarrassingly long. I think this last year we kept it up till the end of January because it's just, we treated it like a lamp, plug in the Christmas tree.
Sure. We have a real tree, so I always sometimes get a little anxious about how long keep it. And I don't know. I've had people say, I've kept mine up for 3 or 4 months, so probably we could, but I don't know.
No, that's a fire hazard.
I feel like it is. I totally feel like it is. Well, this has been so much fun, and you need to stay in touch. And when you get the next book out, then maybe like next year we can touch base again. Yeah, I'd love to have
you. That'd be great.
Yes.
No, I've enjoyed this immensely.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Libby. I hope you have a wonderful holiday season.
Yes, you too. Happy holidays,
Happy
Lisa.
Happy holidays. I want to thank Libby Kay so much for coming on the show. As you can tell, we had a delightful time and it was so much fun talking about her writing process and learning more about Buckeye Falls and her other upcoming books. If you're interested in reading any of her books, check the show notes. I include all of the links to find Libby and her books. And she's also on Instagram as well. If you are interested in following Everyone Loved It But Me, you can also find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. I guess Twitter is now X. And you can also reach out to me if you have that Everyone Loved It But Me book that you'd like to see me analyze. You can reach out to me directly on my website, www.everyonelovedbutme.com. Also have a great group on Facebook, Everyone Loved It But Me. You can find that. And we analyze and discuss a lot of beloved books. I hope that you have a lovely day. And most importantly, I hope you get time to read today.